I have been working for more than 30 years at Eureka, the Finnish Science Centre, which is very much like the, Dundee Science Centre. It has been a role model for many, many science centres in Europe because we were one of the first interactive places in Europe. And I have done research. I did my PhD from the first exhibitions of Eureka in the end of the 80s. And my first way to do the research was that I had my teacher studies, their background, and then I studied media and that type of things. And I was trying to do I started to make the PhD about informal learning, motivation, and media. What people learn from that time, television, radio, even magazines, newspapers, etc. And then when I started to work at Eureka in the planning team, then I changed the topic, that then my research topic was informal learning, motivation, and science centers, or any aquariums, museums, etc. And then I worked during my Eureka career also part-time professor at Sweden. In Sweden, it was science communication professorship. And now for 8 years, I've been based in this house, in the center of Helsinki, but I still have my office in Eureka. I often said that if I would be the professor and research director of limnology, I would not be sitting in the brick house, red brick house in the middle of Helsinki, but collecting the plankton from the Baltic Sea, and then fishes from the Lake District in Finland. But now my plankton is in the exhibition of Eureka and science centers, and the fishes are in the net, in internet. So science center and web, which are the two most typical informal learning places when they are well arranged. Just, I think that I'm partly repeating some slides that I have shown in two previous TEPE conferences, and also the results are partly the same and coming deeper. It is just this, learning by chance is something that people don't, many psychologists don't think that it's learning at all. It's like the, what is this white stuff that comes from my hair, that you even don't know this, but you learn. It's like that but while traveling, for example, it happens that you learn several things, at least to start towards first this way and then that way. Even if you don't try to do it, someone learns you there. So, but then, and then the formal education, although people say that it's different in different countries, etc., however, in all the Western countries, industrial countries, actually in the whole global world, it's the same system from kindergarten to university and everything there between. And then this informal learning, which first was really described like the being opposite of formal education. There was even Ilch book, The Schooling Society, and then Howard Gardner wrote the book, The Unschooled Mind. There were, I know many headmasters and teachers who said, come on, why are you criticizing us? Come yourself to the classroom and you see what it is. And then the point, but I think that they were really misunderstood, those guys, that they both, although they were showing hard criticism towards the school, but however they were showing, look, there is something out there. And it's interesting, and it was only after the web, first PC computers and web, when the informal learning became largely accepted everyone had to, even the laziest school bureaucrat had to, politicians had to admit that they have learned to use the computer, not in the school, but and not even in the working place. Their kids have been teaching them in the first hall, and etc. But so it was first the criticism of the school, and nowadays informal learning, it's really highly accepted. And there are lots of these typical places. And if you take this Ilch book, and he's writing about learning webs, and he's meaning that people gather together to the cafeteria, or they have this type of learning groups, etc. And he's calling them learning webs. And the point is that if you read it and take two words away from one page, you can think that he's describing how the web is working, how people are learning by computers. It's a interesting thing. Also, I think that this peer groups, it's so meaning those fine words, meaning friends. And I think that everyone knows it, that your parents ask, where have you learned that? Not in the school, not from the home. Where? Friends. Yes, all the bad things. And people even think it's not learning. But it is. But now actually peer groups are really with the social media become very favorite. For example, trout fishing people in Finland, Scotland, Alaska, in New Zealand. They are delivering their best hints there. They are better than any guidebooks. And why this is possible, they discuss in internet, the peer group, and why this is possible, because the salmon don't know that it behaves in the same way in Alaska and Scotland and in Finland, so that they can deliver ideas there. So this peer group learning has really been arousing a lot during the last years. And then I'm just putting one other Latin square there, that if we watch the formal, informal, that there are certain, like the botanic gardens or things that which are really real, and then how this world is getting more and more virtual all the time, and most of them are informal things. And then, of course, one of the main points is, for example, a science center. When I visited the Dundee Science Center today, I saw the school groups who were going through it. It was not informal learning. They were doing it exactly according to the national curriculum, etc., and they were supplying. And I think that there is this term which is called out-of-school learning education, which means that you are doing exactly the things in the school, but outside the physical school building. And even when the school renewal in the mid-70s happened in Finland, they realized that they have to change the law, that they have to add one sentence that the teaching of the school can also happen outside the school building. Until that, it was against the law to do something like that, although people, of course, did it. But it was that the national curriculum was rewritten, and it was that time really centralized. That's also the very big difference, that in, let's say, in the 80s, late 80s, Finland had maybe the most centralized national curriculum, while UK was the most, and then it happened like this. It's in 90s, it was total change, that I'd learned that national curriculum was something that Finland had, and then it was changed that it's very small national curriculum, and then the schools are writing it by themselves. But okay, so the point is, and my point is, bridging the gap between formal education and informal learning. How especially the teachers can use all these sources that are outside us in a better way. And one point is that a science center or a field visit or whatever happening, it's I'm using cost effective. I don't mean money. Of course you have to, but the point is that only if you do something before and something afterwards, you get something out of it from the visit, and how you can build the entity in this way. And I think it's the same thing. And also the point is that it has to happen in certain order. And one point is that, let's say 20 years ago, still 10 years ago, it was difficult when the teachers were coming to Heuraga Science Center. or a museum, that what should I do? Because sending the material and sending how it works was difficult and expensive, etc. But when the web-based learning materials are now so common, then the point is that how easy it is, and the point is that it's now overwhelming amount of information. I've been working with several European partners in this inspiring science education, where we have been trying to put learning materials in one portal. And and I think that the strong side of that has been that we have the meta terms there. So the point is that if the teacher now writes friction, there will be first 7 pages of pop, porn and politics, and only after that you find the friction, what is in physics. So that and the what is the English words which is in other countries under the door?
Threshold.
Yeah. So that there are several research results which tell that the first threshold teacher is making, but the second one, no, I do it in the old way. And this is one of the weakest points in the web-based materials, that it's so difficult to find it. Even the Google and other work, but however, how to find the things. So I jump over this and go into, let's see what is my next slide. Okay, I go through this very quickly. We have been trying to see that how the teachers, for 22 years now, all the teacher students of University of Helsinki have spent 2 days from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the evening at Heureka, and we have been teaching them this type of three-step model. That it's the same thing that the pupils have to do something before, then the visit, and then afterwards. And but it's the same matters that the teacher have to have seen the exhibition before, or the institute, or the planetariums, etc., before his own visit or her own visit there. And I think it's the old dilemma that about teaching and learning, that you can if you want to teach something, you have to know the topic by yourself, and you can prove it that you can only after you can teach it to someone else. And this is what is happening with the pupils, and then we are doing it with the students as well. So the idea is that they are spending their 2 whole days in the science center, and we are giving them as well theoretical lectures and short introductions, but as well doing the hands-on work in the laboratories and in the exhibitions and in the planetarium, etc. And the idea is not, although the students are calling it the Heureka course, so, however, the official name is Integrated Science Learning Course. And the idea is that we have 3 goals. One is that one is that their own knowledge is growing. Then the second one is that they learn the integrative way of teaching, because they are the teachers between 7 and 12 years old. So the, how they can combine biology and history and physics, etc. And very often they are doing the reporting afterwards. For example, that then the walls are full of dinosaurs or historical things, depending on what has been the topic in the exhibition. And then the third one is that they learn the model, which they can then utilize as well in the visit of industrial sites or factory or to the museum or aquarium, so that we are only saying that we have been developing this model for 25 years, we know how it works, and then they can utilize it. Because also one important thing is when not to go to an aquarium or museum. Because when you are putting so much effort on it, and I don't mean money, but it is that you cooperate with the headmaster and your colleague, and you get the sandwiches, and you get the bus, and you send the letters to the parents, etc., etc. This is so huge investment that if that fails, it's a pity. If one single lesson or one single school day is failing, okay, that's a pity, but it's not so much pressure has been put there. And while doing research on that, we have found three very clear elements. First of all, here I have the role of ICT, but it is the role of the Science Center exhibition, or it was the role of the field visit or field education. And then there is what are the changes in learning environments. So meaning that if there are changes in the roles and responsibilities of teachers, there are of course changes in the roles and responsibilities of the pupils. So that third one slice here, it is that was there something renewing, innovative learning as approaches in this process? And we did this as a Likert scale questionnaire that totally agree, totally disagree that the role of the pupils is changing. And I can say that it was loaded, let's say, in an elegant, beautiful way. That, for example, this third factor, which was this innovativeness of Science Center education. You see that the figures are very beautiful. There were 9 items on that, and then 7 of them were loaded very strongly. So that it was also easy to show this as an example in the methodology course. But it looks like that these three elements exist as well in the field education, outdoor education, and in the science center, etc. And it's not a psychometric model, but anyway, it somehow describes very well what is happening this type of informal learning settings. Then we were doing the cross-checking of these things, and one thing that we notice is that the longer the teachers had been in the school, they saw it much more effective model. And that was a surprise for me, because I thought that the young students would have been critical and really thinking that no, let's leave the school. But the less people had been working in the school, the less they dare to use these type of things. They wanted to stay in the, let's say, there is not an old, because the people, when they speak about schools, they speak about stereotypes or how it was their times. Teachers are doing it all the time in a different way. But this seemed to be, and we have to do this now again with the teachers who have been in the school longer time. It turned out to be a very reliable thing with these. And I just want to let time for discussion and next presentation here. So I think that it is really this motivation, which is the starting point in informal learning. No one is forcing you. And then it has to be meaningful in the way that you have to know what the learners know before they come. And this is also one dilemma of informal learning, like a science center. The teacher knows John and Mary and all her students what they can, how she should work with them. But in the science center, it happens that Well, the point is also that people very often say that everyone learns, and hands-on is very good way of doing the teaching, which it is. In now, your results were showing it again, and I think that the strength of the classic hands-on science centers is now in the fact that the world is changing more and more virtual, so that there are less and less places where you can do something with your hands in a concrete way. And I think that this will remain for a long time. Here is one example of the several studies that we have done with my small research group. This was a moving mobile track. I will the results will be published in August, so then you will get the paper, but I dare to show it already here. So the point is that my team, we are all the time using very standardized tests. I'm not the greatest believer of statistical research, but I think that that if I have an opportunity to have some hundreds of students, like in your paper, it's the better way of doing it, or first doing some qualitative things like creating the hypothesis. So typically I'm using the Desi Ryan motivation test, which is very well known and kind of reliable thing, and then this Raven test, which some people are calling in a wrong way IQ test, but it's a visual reasoning test. And then we always create the knowledge test from the exhibition. And actually we are using this type of things that, for example, saying an adult human being, Homo sapiens, has 5 liters blood in his brain. Right? Wrong? I don't know. Because the point is that in informal learning, you can also ask the questions that have not been taught in the school, but you might have heard it from your father or when you were a doctor or something like that. So I'm not asking that adult Homo sapiens has 1 liter, 1.5, 2 liters, 5 liters, 7, 10. But I'm asking that this is the fact. Right, wrong, I don't know. Because it gives an interesting thing that who are those who dare to say, I don't know. And who are the okay, and this is girls and boys. Boys say, of course I know. And girls are living much, and it's interesting to see that who are changing, that they say, I don't know. And afterwards, yes, I learned it. I never heard it, but now I know it. So then we use the attitudes tests, very similar, I guess, like you and some others, and then repeating it certain of tests afterwards. And also, in some cases, we have now managed to do that the first test, when the school starts, we make the visit to Heureka in August, in September, in November, September, October, and then, of course, they learn. Of course, if they are there in the exhibition for 3 hours, from which 1 hour they can go totally free and other arranged, then the point is, of course, we will get the results. But the point is, what do they know after half a year? And there is a big difference that if you ask from the kids in March what they did in the school in September, what? It's history. So, but this is even that they even remember that they did the field visit or were in a museum or in a science center. And I just show one figure. Normally when someone is showing this type of figure, he's apologizing and sorry, this is not unclear. This is unclear and you don't see this paragraph here and you don't see the numbers. Yeah. This is what I call the reality. So I change it in the way. So the main point is, and this is in Finnish, read what you can read here. Say, read this word.
Tieto.
Exactly. All the words in Finnish are spelled written and pronounced exactly in the same way. I never understood when I started to learn English at the age of 9 why they say apple, but ape, and then appointment. It's always A and B. What? In Finnish, it's always R. And if you need R, it's a long, then you make two of them. So the ape is ape. You so simple, and here we see the clever people. You would manage immediately. You would pronounce the right way. Okay, this theater one is the pre-test of knowledge. This is the pre-test, post-test of knowledge, and then we were seeing that what are the background things, how the Raven test, this logical reasoning test, was in correlated with the learning before and learning after. Or how this RAI, relatively autonomous index, how it affected. Or what was the point of school success, how it went together. So this is I have one much more clear picture from this. But the point is that first, even you end to think that that girls were learning better than boys, for example, in this case. But when you take into account the school success or this relatively autonomous index, which is very important, it is created from this Desi Ryan motivation model. That means that they are girls and boys who don't go to school and don't learn the lessons because their father is demanding or the teacher is expecting that they are doing it. Maybe they can be in good relation with teacher and even parents, but the point is, they don't care. They just want to learn. And for example, in this case, we found out that in this mobile exhibition, which the people who created it thought that this is now for the boys, maybe for the dropout boys, their attitude was the best one there. But however, the kids who utilize it most, it was in the rural areas of Finland, it was the girls who were also otherwise very good at school success, and managed, had a very high ranking autonomous index, and also get a very strong situation motivation. First, it's the place, new place, which then changes into more intrinsic motivation. So that's and here, what I was doing in another way, and I think what is our common ground is that here we are not teaching the new skills to the teacher, but we are teaching the teachers to utilize certain model, how to behave, how to make it understandable, and how to use the sources, and how to put the other people to teach their pupils. That's it.
Right.